Now, last week, we talked about how it was absolutely imperative that we teach our children to obey, and about how no is a word that we should not hear coming from our children's lips. And for those of us who have children, or if you have children that obey, you know that even your adult children would not in your face say no, because that is something that children who've been taught to obey would not do to their parents. They might think of other creative ways to say it, but the word will not come from their lips. But notice the words at the end of verse 1 in our scripture from Ephesians. It says, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right." Notice the words, "in the Lord." You know, Colossians 3:20 is a parallel verse to this passage, and Paul wrote this, "Children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing to the Lord." So kids, why should you obey your parents? Because it pleases God. There you go. And that should be enough motivation for you to obey. But not only should we teach our children as parents what is required, but we need to teach them what is right. Paul goes on to say, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right." You know, we live in a world of relativism. We live in a place where political correctness is all the rage. We live where situational ethics are actually taught in schools and value clarification. And we all hear those kinds of words every day. But let me tell you what. One of the words that we seem to have lost in our society is what is right. You do things because it is the right thing to do. You just don't hear that very often today. Now, children must be taught to obey. Why? Because it is the right thing to do. It is not the school's responsibility to teach our children what's right. It's our responsibility as parents. Hopefully, the school lends us a hand to help us, but parents, it is our responsibility first before they go to school. From the time children are born, they need to be taught that certain things are right and certain things are wrong. And if they choose to do wrong, they need to learn that there are consequences to that disobedience. Now, here's where it gets sticky. Something that is very, very difficult for we as parents to do, and I recognize that. It's only by the grace of God we can pull this off. It's an important thing for we parents to learn. When our children do wrong, it is not our responsibility to shield them from all consequences. Listen to that. When our children do wrong, it is not our job to shield them from all consequences. The only way some young people learn not to do some things is to let them suffer the consequences. And when children are 2 and 1 years old, the consequences are much smaller, so it's really good if you work it out then. So then if they learn obedience at that age, they're much better off than when they get a lot older and, my goodness, have their driver's licenses, and the consequences are much, much bigger. I remember the day Ian came home from school as a senior. He was obviously torn and troubled. Greg was a freshman wrapped in an attitude, and Ian was upset. He sat down, he said, "Mom, I've got to talk to you," which was very unusual. He said, "Mom, I don't know how much longer I can keep Greg from getting beat up." This is true. I asked him some particulars, and then I said something that Ian still says was a life lesson for him, and I said, "You need to let your brother reap what he sows. Let him get beat up." He was aghast. I said, "Don't let the other seniors kill him." I said, "But otherwise, don't interfere." It's amazing the wonderful attitude adjustment that Greg went through his freshman year when he couldn't hide behind his football lineman brother. When you get the third or perhaps the second call to bail your teenager out, perhaps it's time to let him spend the night in jail. And if the police are coming to your home, or the police are coming somewhere and you are worried about your reputation, you need to get your priorities in order. Because the lesson your teenager needs to learn is worth more than any kind of damage to your reputation. People ought to know who you are. And your child is more important than any kind of external look Your kids are more important than that, and they need to learn the lesson. Now, it's not enough to teach our children to obey. You see, we need to teach them to honor us. God says our children need to honor us. Look at verse 2. Paul says, honor your father and your mother, which is the first commandment with a promise. There's a difference between obedience and honoring. And obedience, you see, is outward. Honoring is inward. Obedience is action. Honor is attitude. It is possible to obey and not honor. We've all seen the cartoon of that little boy who's on the timeout chair in the corner with his mother. And he says to his mother, who comes over, I may be sitting down on the outside, but I am standing up on the inside. That's the difference between obedience and honor. There will come a time when your children are old enough, when they are out from underneath your roof, and they are financially independent with jobs. Once again, we all hope that and pray that that time comes for our children. So there will come a time when they won't have to obey you, but there will never, ever, ever come a time when your children should not honor you. Kids, here's the thing. That's what Scripture teaches. And when you teach your children to obey you and to honor you, you are teaching them not only what is right, but what is required. And what is required, but thirdly, you are teaching them, God says, what is rewarding. Notice what verse 3 says, so that it may be well with you and that you may live long upon the earth. You see, God honors young people who honor their parents. Because, you see, when kids look at old fogies and has-beens like we are as parents, let's all face it, that's who we are as parents. That's who they see. It is true. But you see, those of us who are old fogies, we've been around the block a few times. And young people, the practical application of this verse is, if your parents and your grandparents are godly people, the operative word is godly people, and when they try to give you advice, if you listen to it, you are going to avoid a lot of the sin and pitfalls that we had to go through to get to adulthood. And trust us, it was only by the grace of God we made it to adulthood. And then, kids, you won't find yourself in a scary crowd, scary situation. You won't be doing wrong things. You won't get caught in the wrong place at the wrong time if you listen to your godly parents and godly grandparents. So remember, parents, when you teach your children to obey and honor you, you're teaching them what is required, you're teaching them what is right, and you're teaching them what is rewarding. And when you do that, you are doing what God says parents need to be doing. Paul doesn't even stop there. Look at the second major point. Not only should we teach our children the right message, but we need to teach them in the right manner. And this is the key to some of our parenting problems. The way we teach our children is very important. Not enough to teach our children the right message. We have to teach them in the right manner. Verse 4 says, fathers, do not provoke your children to anger. Now, the reason Paul addresses fathers here is pretty simple. In the context of God's design for the family, fathers have the responsibility to be leaders in their home if they choose to take it. Hopefully they do. The same thing can be said for moms. Moms, we also are the ones who are, we're very good at provoking our children to anger. You know just how to push them, don't you? Just to send them over the edge. It can happen from either one, father or mother. I saw that. The companion passage to this is Colossians 3:21, and Paul says, fathers, do not exasperate your children so that they will not lose heart. The point is, every parent can discourage their kids if they set out to teach them the wrong way. Mom and Dad, you and I have the responsibility to teach our kids. You can either encourage them or discourage them, and that goes about by the way we teach them. There's this fellow, Jay Kessler, and he has a book, and it's called 10 Mistakes Parents Make with Their Teenagers. I thought it was noteworthy for us. It gives us a pretty exhaustive list of how we parents aggravate and frustrate and provoke teenagers. I want to share them with you. I don't want any amens from the front pew. Mistake one is a failure to be a consistent model. It's not enough for you to say, do what I say, not what I do. You know what? Your children can be convinced very, very early on that Christianity is bogus because they see what you do in church and it's different from the way you act in public. That will convince them in a heartbeat. And you have lost the battle, let me tell you, unless the Lord converts your heart and you can turn that around. Mistake two, failure to admit when you are wrong. Have you ever said, I'm sorry, to your kids when you mess up? You need to do that. They need to know that you're human and that you are sorry for mistakes. Mistake three, failure to give honest answers to honor questions. To honest questions. An honest answer is not because I said so. Now, we are guilty of that, but that isn't an honest answer. Mistake four, failure to let your teenager develop a personal identity. Dad, this one is for you. Every son you have is not going to be a Peyton Manning. Sometimes they turn out playing the bongos, and you need to be good with that. You have to let your kids have a personal identity. And you know what? Whoever they are, when they develop that personal identity, when they come to you and say, I want to be a rocket scientist, don't you dare say that that is the dumbest thing I've ever heard in my life. You encourage them. Teach them how to develop that identity. Teach them to be the person uniquely that God wants them to be. I remember the day that Ian said he wanted to be an aerospace engineer was the week after we had a conference with his math teacher that said he was so lousy at math that he should avoid a career that needed strong math skills. Well, you know what? He's an aerospace engineer, and he did it anyway. Mistake number five, failure to major in the majors and minor in the minors. Do you know what, parents? You need to learn to let it go. I mean, you might talk about something for the moment, but then let it go. You know, the Lord lets our sins go. You need to let your kids off the hook, okay? You deal with something, but then you move on, and you do it quickly. Number six, failure to communicate approval and acceptance. Oh, I love this one. Number seven, failure to approve of friends without making any attempt to get to know those friends. There's a difference there. You see that? To make an attempt to get to know those friends. Number eight, failure to give your teenager the right to fail. Number nine, failure to discuss the uncomfortable with them. We all know about that. And number 10, failure to take time with them. If you are a young parent today and you have little children in your home, take time with them. Whatever you are doing is not as important as they are. And if you are an older parent and you have teenagers in your home and if they linger in the kitchen while they're going by and they act like they might talk to you, you need to drop whatever it is you're doing and you need to spend time with them because the time is coming when they will not be there. And that is what God requires. And if you do, He will miraculously make sure all that other stuff, if it was important, gets done. So take time with your young people, your teens, and your adult children. And if you have adult children, you need to sit them down purposefully, and you need to share with them ways that you know you failed them as a parent. The things you know that are in your head that God won't let you forget. And you need to ask them the areas in which you failed, the areas where they think you failed. And here's the deal. Don't rationalize your behavior. Just give them heartfelt apologies and tell them that they are your reason for living. See, parents understand that you need to teach your kids what's important. But if you want them to hear you and if you want them to apply it, you have to model it for them. You know, Proverbs 16:21 says, the wise are known for their understanding and pleasant words are persuasive. You can teach your kids in one of two ways. You can teach them by being negative all the time and jumping on their case every time they step out of line. You can yell at them, you can scream at them, you can beat them up verbally, or you can teach them positively and you can find ways to encourage them and build them up and not tear them down. That doesn't mean you don't discipline them, but it means that you find a way to do it in a loving way. And if we can do this in a positive way, our kids grow up to be healthier kids, and they're going to have a much brighter future than if they spend their growing up years having people waiting for them to step out of line so they can stomp on them. So truth one, give them the right message. Truth two, teach them the right manner. Truth three, teach your children about the right master. You know, it is not enough for you to have a roof over your kid's head. You need to put the Lord in your kid's heart. It is not enough for you to give your children physical clothing. You have to give them spiritual clothing, spiritual armor. That's why Paul goes on to say, bring them up in the discipline and the instruction of the Lord. And here's what that means. We need to discipline our children when they do wrong, because discipline is a mark of love. You know, it says in Proverbs 13:24, those who spare the rod of discipline hate their children. And those who love their children care enough to discipline. Everyone needs discipline. You know, I'm not advocating physically assaulting your children. I'm not, and I hope you know that. You have to be creative with discipline, just like they're creative in disobeying you. But we have to direct our children to do what's right. And one of the two tools that God has given us for rearing our children are discipline and instruction. Paul says we're to raise them in the discipline and the instruction of the Lord. And that's the word of God. Now, parents, if you want to know what to do for your children, the very first thing you should do is make for sure you have given your own heart to Jesus. You see, we live in a crazy world. And it is more difficult than ever to raise your children. But when you invite Jesus to live in your life and you have a relation with him, he becomes your partner in it. You see, he comes alongside you. Not only do you find forgiveness of your own sins and new purpose for your life, and we do, the Lord Jesus comes alongside you and he becomes your partner. None of us have all the wisdom of the world, but he does. And he will be your partner in raising your children. And who of us doesn't need that? The greatest thing you can do, moms and dads, is to give your heart to the Lord Jesus. And the greatest gift you can ever give your children is for you to give them the gift of knowledge of salvation through Christ, to lead them to give their lives to Christ. We have such bizarre understandings of success in our culture. We kind of think success is in sports or in academics or in business, but the real success for a Christian parent is when your son or daughter comes to that place where they discover Jesus Christ and give their lives to him, and they get saved. You know, if you want to look at how successful you are as a parent, look at the spiritual condition of your children. The greatest privilege you will ever have is to lead a young person to faith in Christ.